Joining us now is State Senator Rich Dreheim from District 20. Senator, thank you so much for joining us again today.
Thank you for calling.
You have, the Senate has been, you know, you've been busy, I'm sure, the whole legislative session, but there have been headlines, I guess, made this week. And the big one is the tax bill. The Senate released their version of the tax bill a day after the House of Representatives released theirs. Let's talk about that. Are there similarities between the two? Both are pretty much crafted by the Republicans.
You know, I think ours is a little broader. Mm-hmm. You know, one of our main focuses. So I think people have to remember we did drastic reform last year, and now we're reacting to the federal government and what they did. And because Minnesota is one of the top five tax states in the country, good or bad, just a fact, with the SALT deductions, the state and local taxes, we are hurt more by the federal tax cuts, because when you deduct your state and local taxes, which are very high in Minnesota, you're leveraging the other 45 states that pay less in taxes to cover our portion. So we have more to modify to make sure no one's hurt in Minnesota. So, you know, we're spending about $172 million. I think somewhere in there, mm-hmm. for tax conformity. And we wanted to really make sure the taxpayers, about 2.6, 2.7 million taxpayers in Minnesota, we wanted to make sure that the majority of the people were covered. So we got 99.9% or 99.8%, whatever it is, people that won't have an increase in their taxes or get a tax cut. And that was our goal, to get everybody possible, to receive a tax break. There's a few little gaps in there. There'll be a few thousand people, but it's best we could do with the resources we had. And hopefully people will see, you know, this will be for next year's taxes, not for this year. Little help.
Now, let's take, just for example, your average couple. They make, let's say, each make $50,000, so you've got a couple that makes $100,000, they have a couple of kids. Do you have any idea what kind of savings that the average citizen could look to?
You know, unfortunately, Jeff, I don't have my I'm actually in Minneapolis at a breakfast meeting.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have my sheets in front of me on the specifics like that. But our goal was to make sure people weren't penalized or, mm-hmm. you know, it's our money. I mean, we have to first remember this is the money that we've earned, and, you know, we've had surpluses, so we're using part of that surplus, 170-some million of it, to give that money back to the people that paid in on that 170 some million.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we talk tax cuts, blah, 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 but it's really our own money, and we have to remember that we're trying to keep it in the family's pocket. With the average household paying more in taxes, property taxes have gone way up. The school referendums add a lot. So 10-20% isn't uncommon across the board for people's property taxes in the last couple of years. So
now the governor has come out, of course, kind of blasted the Senate's version of the tax bill, as he did the House version. It probably no surprise there, being a member of the different party, the other party. But as far as room for compromise, are these what the governor is proposing? Is it radically different than
It was a tax increase. His tax plan was a tax increase. It wasn't a tax reduction. And, you know, we want to balance that out and make sure that, especially the working class are the ones that have been hit the hardest, trying to save money for health insurance and retirement and student debt, et cetera. And if we left things alone, that income bracket of 30 to 80,000, well, the average person in our district would have been hurt the most, and they would have had a tax increase. So, you know, they're night and day different, apple and oranges. So it'll be different. I should say very difficult to have the governor sign this tax bill, in my opinion.
Hmm.
It's a very good tax bill. They worked very hard on it. You know, there's a little bit in there for farmers, Section 179 for deducting equipment. But most of it's all geared towards the family, and that was our goal.
Let's move on. The corridor of commerce. You wanted to talk about that. There has been, we had conversations with our House Representative, David Bly. He also mentioned the corridors of commerce. And perhaps that some people may think that that is too Twin Cities centric, I guess. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, we tried to legislate the corridors of commerce to split up rural and outstate and metro. You know, divide it up, spread it out, and the 400 million that they had this year, it was all of the four projects. There's only 170 some projects applied for this corridors of commerce. Four were picked. They're all within 40 miles of downtown Minneapolis, right where I'm at. And they're all kind of lumped in one geographic area. You know, and our intent was, we all think we have the most important project around, you know, another intersection on 35 or, you know, in the south, it's Highway 14, 212, whatever, pick the number. And there's a local district that wants that, and it's the most important thing. All we were telling the state and through their process is spread the wealth out. Pick projects around the state. And, you know, they're all important. You know, they all are on the list to get things done. But they're all lumped together. And that's the exact opposite of what they were directed to do. And that's part of the frustration. You know, it wouldn't be a big deal to me if they weren't in our district, and they're in another district. I understand that every district has needs and are important, but to lump them all together, I think, was the exact opposite of what they were directed to do. And I'm just very disappointed.
And is there anything that the Senate or the House, anyone can do about that? Does that money's already been funded, and and MnDOT has, is it MnDOT or that has control over it? Or
Yes, it's MnDOT. Corridors of Commerce is a, you know, four lane type roads that you know, have a lot of commerce attached mm-hmm. to it. So we know it's important, and there's always a big debate between metro versus outstate, because the more people lives in the metro, but there's more miles of roads in outstate. And I think some of the people in the metro forget that their supplies, their food, has come on those roads in outstate to get to them. You know, their Amazon packages or whatever,
mm-hmm.
More than likely are shipped on a truck headed right towards the metro. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, we have to work together, and try, everything I've trying to do up at the Capitol is try to spread it out, make it fair for everybody, and, you know, be a big picture policymaker. And you know, unfortunately, we don't see it on this corridor's commerce.
Once again, we're talking with State Senator Rich Raheim, District 20. You had a bill concerning health care that was working through. Tell us about that.
So we had a vote on it this week on the floor. So we're waiting for the House, which is, we call it, it's on general orders. They have to pick it up and hear it, and then hopefully it'll go to the governor's desk to be signed. But this is my good faith estimate healthcare transparency bill. So it requires the medical providers, if asked, to give you a good faith estimate on a procedure or whatever you're having done at the clinic, and also requires them to have a list of their common procedures in their office, just to start the conversation on healthcare costs. So, like I think we've talked about before, we spend a lot of time debating who pays for health care. And while we've been debating that, the cost of health care has just rocketed sky high. And we need to start drilling down on the cost of that health care. And to me, I don't care what subject matter it is, you got to look at the price. You got to look at the cost. And that's what this bill does. And
all right.
I think it's a great first step. I think it's probably the most important health care bill that we've had this session. And a lot of people worked on it, a lot of different groups. A lot of compromise, but it's a good first step.
Has it passed, or will there be a vote on that? Or
yeah, on the Senate we passed it 65-2.
Okay,
so we had pretty bipartisan support.
Good.
It's a good bill that is should affect everybody in the state, no matter who pays their health insurance or if they pay cash. And with the rising costs of health care, our deductibles are quite a bit higher than most states, and we have a lot of high-paying copay in a lot of our policies. So people need to pay attention to what they're paying out of pocket, and this is the first step in that process.
And lastly, Senator, let's move on to the bonding bill. Now, I think the House has released their version, and the Senate is going to be working on that, I think, the rest of this week and next week. Will that be released next week?
My understanding, the target is next week. Senator Sinjim from Rochester is the bonding chair, and he said we'll look at that next week. They're wrapping that up right now. I'm hoping that we spend a lot of resources on infrastructure, what I call underground infrastructure, so wastewater, sewer lines, clean water lines, and then we need to spend a little money on veteran homes. So I hope we put that in the bill, and then mental health would be the third thing that I'm hoping gets in there. So we'll wait and see. He doesn't really let it out too much until next week.
Mm-hmm. We'll have, do you know any dates yet? Will we be able to talk about that next week, next Thursday, when we have a conversation with you?
Yes, we should be able to,
okay.
But schedules change. We were going to have a regents meeting today, and that got switched to Monday. So one of the things we're working on is the regents are that oversee the U of M, and they have one member that's leaving early, so we have a election to pick a regent for the U of M, and that was supposed to happen. One of the meetings on that was today, and it got switched to Monday. So every day things are changing, and we just take it a day at a time.
It happened, fast and furious. Senator, thank you so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate it, and we'll talk to you once again this time next week.
Okay, thank you.
State Senator Rich Dreheim from District 20 joins us every Thursday at this time, 8:45 during the legislative session.